right, so. All right, here we are today. Welcome. We are in the middle of a series called Fail. And last week, if you were here, weren't here, I want to remind you what we talked about. Last week, we talked about basically this idea that only failures need rescuers. And we talked about how they're all, for all of us, there will come a time where we reach this point where we're like in the middle of the night, can't sleep, can't function, can't think, can't move, because we realize that we have failed. It could be that we missed the winning shot, we did bad on a test, we said something we didn't mean to, or whatever it is. And in those moments, we try really hard to make ourselves feel better by telling us, hey, I'm not so bad, it's okay. But really what we need to do is we need to own and admit that we are failures and turn to Jesus to allow him to rescue us. So we're going to continue on this journey of talking about fail, about what does that look like in our lives to fail. And I know that for me, I go from everything's fine to failure in about 7 nanoseconds. I mean, it just happens in my brain that quick. And I want to tell you a story about how that happened to me. But then And so what happened was, it was actually when my first daughter was born. She's 5 now, but when she was born, she was about this big, I swear. She was like this tiny. And I'm holding her, she wasn't that tiny, but she was small. And I'm holding her in my arms, and we're in the hospital still. And the nurses keep telling me, don't let her sleep in the bed because you're going to roll on her and kill her. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't want to kill my kid, right? And she just was born. So I'm holding her, and she'd fall asleep in my arms, and then I would fall asleep, and the nurses would come in and be like, don't let her sleep in the bed. You're going to kill her. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I try to put her in this Tupperware. I mean, seriously, it looked like this. This is seriously the kind of Tupperware they keep babies in the hospital. And so they were like, have her sleep in the Tupperware. And so, like, I'm trying to put her down in the Tupperware, and what does she do? She cries, she wakes up and she screams and hollers and wails. So I pick her back up and I rock her back to sleep. I get her back to sleep and the nurse comes in and says, don't let the baby sleep in the bed, you're gonna kill her. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So I put her back in the Tupperware and what happens? She cries again, right? It's 3 a.m, I haven't slept in, I don't know, days, right? And I'm like freaking out. And seriously, this was my thought. I yell to Zach, who's sleeping over in the side of the room, and I'm like, Zach! He's like, what? What happened, right? And I'm like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do because I can't get the baby to sleep in the thing, and if I can't get her to sleep in the thing, she's never going to develop like a sleep pattern, which means she's never going to be able to go to school, which means she's never going to go to college, which means she's never going to get a job, which means she's never going to be a productive member of society, and I've already failed as a mother! This was my thought process in about 2 nanoseconds. Like, it went from there to there, like that fast, right? Now, I know that I'm not the only one that jumps from zero to failure in nanoseconds, because I was talking to this 7th grade guy the other day. It was actually a couple months ago. And he was telling me about a science test that he had. And he was all stressed out about the science test, and he was just like, I don't know what I'm going to do, I don't know, I got to study, it's going to be crazy, I don't know, going crazy about the science test. And I was like, it's a science test. It's not that big of a deal. You're in 7th grade. And he's like, no, you don't understand. If I don't do good on the science test, I'm not going to go do good in my 8th grade placement test, which means I'm not going to get in the right pod, which is going to put me in line to do AP classes in high school. And if I'm not doing like honors classes in high school and I don't get in the right classes then I'm not going to have good SAT scores, which means I'm not going to get a scholarship, which means I'm not going to go to a good college, which means I'm not going to get a good job, which means I'm never going to get married because no woman is ever going to want me, and then I'm not going to have kids, and my life is over! That fast. That fast. He jumped from zero to failure that fast. And I want to step back and think, why do we do that? Why do we jump to these illogical, irrational failure conclusions? And I've determined what it is. I think it's because we all live under the same lie. And in fact, it's not just us that live under that lie. It's all of our parents that live under that lie too. We all live under this lie, and let me tell you what it is. The lie is that life is about accomplishing things. Life is about making sure that we accomplish stuff and we prove ourselves worthy and we achieve great things. It's like when you're young, maybe even before middle school. Everybody gets handed this accomplishment pot, like this big pot that says accomplishments on the side. And you carry it around, and what we're supposed to do, what everybody tells us is what we're supposed to do in life, the whole goal is to fill this accomplishment pot to the brim. How much stuff can you get in there? Oh, look, I read the Iliad and the Odyssey by the time I graduated high school. Oh, look, I am the valedictorian. Oh my gosh, look at this. I was the captain of the ping pong team. Oh my gosh, I did, right? Like, we carry this thing around and we want to fill it with all these accomplishments. And some of them are about grades, and some of them are about sports, and some of them are about the ways that we look or how many people we know or what things we have achieved. I mean, it can be about anything. And the world and even adults tell us, yeah, life is about filling that accomplishment pot, so then we can go around and say, hey, look at my accomplishment pot. It's pretty nice, right? Check it out, right? We think that life is about that. And so when we don't get to put something in that accomplishment pot, we jump to failure because that's the goal of life, or we think it is, and so we have failed the goal of life. But for those of us who are Christians, for those of us who are believers, there is a truth you need to know. Filling that accomplishment pot is not the goal of life. It's not it. It's not the goal of life. In fact, Christ has given us a totally different goal. And that goal is to bring the kingdom to earth so that everyone we see, everyone we meet, would know that Christ is king of this earth. That we would find ways to build his kingdom here. Not our own kingdom, not our accomplishment pot, but to build his kingdom here. To make Christ be king here. And so what I want to tell you, the truth, is that the goal of life is not about filling our accomplishment pot. It's about the kingdom being brought. It's not about filling our accomplishment pot. It's about the kingdom being brought. And let me tell you, that changes everything. And I want to look at a story in the Bible of somebody who had to make the very difficult decision of no longer going after the accomplishment pot, but choosing to go after the kingdom brought. So I want you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And the book of Luke is in the New Testament. So if you open to the middle of your Bible and keep going that direction, you'll pass Matthew, you'll pass Mark, and then you'll get to Luke. So Luke chapter 1, verses 26. Now this is probably a story that you've heard before many, many, many times. Probably every year at least you hear this story. Because it's about a girl named Mary. All right? Now I'll give you some context for this while you're opening up and finding it in your Bible. But basically what happened was God had told a group of people that the king was coming. The king, the very same king that was the rescuer we talked about last week, that the king was coming to earth to set up his kingdom so that he could save all the failures, basically. And so his kingdom was coming to earth. And finally it was time for that to happen. And so we get to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, here's what I want to tell you about Mary. Mary had been given an accomplishment pot just like everybody else, and Mary was doing a good job filling up that accomplishment pot. She was a virgin. She was marrying a man who was from the right tribe, and then she was going to have kids, and then she was going to keep a kosher house, and she was going to be happy for the rest of her life. That was Mary's plan. And everyone who saw Mary was going to be like, oh, nice accomplishment pot. Good job over there, right? That's how she was going to be treated. And she was probably pumped about that until one day this happens. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." So basically, the angel's telling Mary, hey, guess what? You are going to bring the kingdom. You are going to have the baby king inside of you. You will give birth to him. You will be his mother, and he will bring the kingdom. And Mary goes, how will this be since I am a virgin? And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. Now here's this crazy thing. I mean, really get this. When the angel comes to Mary to tell her this thing that he says is this great news, I imagine that in the back of Mary's mind, she knows exactly what this means. This means that she has to give up her accomplishment pot. No longer is she going to be able to say, hey, check out all these things that I did. Check out how good this was. All of a sudden, in order to bring the kingdom, she has to let that go and go after bringing the kingdom, which means that everyone's going to look at her and be like, oh, you messed up. Why'd you give up all that great stuff? Why didn't you keep filling up your accomplishment pot? Don't you know that's the point of life? Now you really look like a failure. And yet, here's what Mary says. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. And then the angel left her. Now, I think this is crazy. That in the middle of trying to, like, she's at this crossroads of, do I go after the accomplishment pot and continue for everybody to say, oh, she's looking good. Yeah, she's doing the right thing. Or do I go after bringing God's kingdom? And she says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be done to me as you have said. Now, here's the reality. Each one of us in this room has been given a call. If you are a follower of Christ, you have been given a call to bring the kingdom of God to earth, to your school right now. Not 10 years from now when you get a career. Right now, in your schools, in your family, in your community. You are called to bring the kingdom of God right now. Right now. But here's the somebody has handed you an accomplishment pot, and it feels really good to fill it up. And in order to go after that kingdom, we at some point have to make a decision. All right, I'm going to put down the accomplishment pot, and I am going to choose to go after bringing the kingdom of God, the kingdom brought. And so my question for all of you is, what will you choose? What are you going to live for? Not in 10 years, not when you graduate from college, right now, today, tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday. What are you going to choose to go after? Are you going to choose to go after the accomplishment pot or the kingdom brought? What are you going to go after? Now, my challenge for you today in your groups is to actually make a list of the things you spend your time on. 5, 10, it doesn't really matter how many things, but whatever it is you feel like you spend your time on, you can get as detailed as possible. And I want you to look at that list. I want you to say, okay, I do this. Do I do this to fill my achievement pot? Or do I do this to bring the kingdom of God? Why do I do this thing? Why do I spend this time on this? And I want you to think through what are the things that are under the list of achievement pot that you need to say, you know what, I'm going to let go of that. I'm not going to do that anymore. Now, the tricky part is, AP calculus could be totally an achievement pot thing. Check me out. I took AP calculus. Blah, blah, blah. I'm so cool and smart, right? Could totally be an achievement pot thing. Or it could be a kingdom brought thing. It could be that you need to be equipped with AP calculus in order for you to cure the world from cancer. I don't know. But you really got to look at these things and you've got to really examine, is it you're bringing the kingdom, or is it that you're just trying to fill an accomplishment pot? Then, after you divide up your, you know, all those different things, I want you to pick one thing that's the achievement pop thing, and I want you to let it go. And I know that's really hard, and for some of you, that's going to mean you need to have a conversation with your parents, because you can't just be like, that's it, I'm done, I'm not doing that anymore, right? You need to go to your parents and say, hey, I've really thought about this, I think this is really just for my achievement pot, I don't think I'm bringing the kingdom, I want to let it go so I have time to pursue God's kingdom. This isn't just about letting go of things in our schedules, this is about bringing the kingdom of God to earth. Now, to paint a picture of what the kingdom looks like, this would mean that we would be a group of people that would change our schools, that we would go after mercy and love, that we would be people that would pursue the things that God has called us to. This would change everything, which is why I think it's so important that if you are a Christ follower, we've got to start looking, all right, is this an achievement pot or is this the kingdom brought? And we need to go after it with everything we've got. Ooh, that rhymes too. All right, so I'm going to pray for you guys, and I'm going to pray for your conversations that you can really have clarity to see what this looks like and live this out. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much. I thank you so much for the story of Mary. I thank you that she said, I am the Lord's servant. I don't know what it would look like if she had said, I'll pass. And I'm so glad that you give us that opportunity too, to turn down the lie of the achievement pot, to go after your kingdom and bringing your kingdom to earth. Father, I ask that you would give us lots of clarity on what that looks like and what that means and what we're called to do because of that. In your holy and precious name, amen.